We're live.
All right. Welcome back to Drinks First, Cocktail Hour. We have a very special guest with us today, and I'm incredibly excited. And I'm going to give him an opportunity to talk a little bit about himself, but it is the great Joey Zauzig. He is Instagram, fashion, like, extraordinaire, lifestyle, TikTok, you do it all. So I'm extremely excited to have you on today. Joey, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, where you're living now, how old you are?
Well, first of all, I have to give you kudos for the introduction. You got my last name right. You got my whole aura right, what I do. So thank you for the perfect introduction in my book. But I am 28 years old. I just moved from New York to LA. I was supposed to be here for 4 months and now I'm staying here for a year. Let's just call me Bicoastal, if you will. And my whole brand is really about uplifting, and it is fashion. It is lifestyle. Pretty much anything you can think of while just being authentic and showing you my day to day. I don't play around when it comes to being an open book with you guys. So that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
And that's exactly why we want to have you on. We want those open book conversations. Our listeners need to hear the honest truth. And I feel like you're going to be the perfect person to have that conversation with. Joey, I know you just said you moved from New York to LA, and, you know, we're a New York-based podcast. So a question I love to ask everybody is, well, when you were in New York, what was your favorite place to go out? And where are your favorite places to eat?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, to go out was like Paul's Baby Grand. I was always at the top of the standard, Boom Boom Room. I was at, you know, Casablanca. I was at The Blonde. Like, you could find me anywhere, all of those places on any given night. But for food, I mean, I like the basics, girl. I love a Carbone night. I love a Restoration Hardware Rooftop. I love Pastis. I love San Ambrose. It's making me
so
really
you're happy. A meatpacking West Village hoe. Like, that's where you're
bitch. It's meatpacking, it's West Village. It's, you know, a Tribeca moment. There's this place, Eve's, that if you haven't been yet, Eve's is like the best place. I hope it's still open, Jesus. But it is so cute, and it's in Tribeca, and it's just kind of like a good vibe. So I highly recommend that if you guys haven't been there.
I've never heard of that, which is shocking. So I'll definitely have to go check it out.
There, girl. It's a good dating spot too, ladies.
Ooh, okay. You heard it here first. Let's talk about why you're really here, which is relationships, dating, career. So what got you to New York?
You know, during college, I was kind of bored, and I was just kind of like, what am I doing? So I started going up to New York on the weekends and like applying for internships. And I was like, I love fashion. I love the height of the city. So I just kind of was already setting my fucking seed and planting my whole like life in New York before I even was there. And then I got an internship at Vogue right before I graduated. And I went there the day I graduated. I moved to New York. I started interning. And then during that time, I like obviously couldn't afford rent. So I would do half days at Vogue and then half days as a club promoter to pay the rent, honey.
Oh, my God. Where did you promote?
I would just bring girls to the club and I would get checked by bringing hot girls. So like, I was at Vogue, and then I also went to WSJ, where I worked in the closet as a fashion assistant. And I would meet these like hot girls, and like they had just moved to the city and it was exciting. So I'd be like, listen, I got this club. It's free drinks. We got a table. Let's go. And I would bring them out and I would get paid for it. So that's kind of like how I paid my rent during that time, was being a club promoter on the side, which was crazy.
I'm sure you have insane stories from that.
I sure do.
But that's the perfect setup. I mean, I worked in fashion for a moment as well. And you are losing money when you work in fashion.
You're losing money and you're really making no money. But if you want to, you know, get your foot in the door, you have to do everything for nothing. And that's kind of what I was doing. I was making absolutely no money. So, you know, I did that. And then I went into fashion PR. I did that for 4.5 years-ish, I guess. And my last job was at Tommy Hilfiger. That's kind of when I decided, I was like, honey, I am not meant to be behind the scenes of fashion shows. I'm meant to be sitting front row. Mm-hmm. And I realized that pretty quickly. And I was starting to build my Instagram. I was starting to build my outfits. And it was like one picture of me with these blue sunglasses that really like inspired me to start my fashion Instagram and just kind of like start inspiring people. But like, then I realized that people just wanted to see my day to day. People just were interested in me and like my personality. And I was like giving people this inspiration without even knowing that I was. And that's kind of like what sparked the whole thing.
At what point in time were you kind of like, when was it Tommy Hilfiger into you just figuring out you wanted to do your own thing?
So quickly, I'll spill the tea for a little bit. I was at Tommy, and I don't think I've ever talked about this before, but I kind of got an ultimatum from Tommy that was kind of like, you can't be doing both anymore. So you can't be doing the Instagram thing, making money on the side, promoting other brands while you're working here. So they kind of were like, it's like Instagram or it's us. And I had saved up money because I definitely was trying my best to make the switch and jump and go off on my own, but it was scary. So this just gave me the push that I needed, and I chose Instagram money.
And it's been liftoff ever since then.
It's been liftoff. The next week after I left Tommy, everything just, I got my first contract with a brand for 4 months that was like kind of making me feel better about like floating along money wise. Cause like I didn't have any support from my parents. It was all me. So, you know, things just really do happen when you believe in them and when you take a risk and step outside the box. You don't know they're going to, but like you have to believe that they will. And trust me, if you keep that belief in your head, it will happen. I promise you. It's hard, but you just have to keep the belief.
So for those people who have just come to New York City, they're listening to this podcast and they're kind of like, I'm paying a ridiculous amount of money for rent. Like, what kind of advice can you give to those people? Do you think, like, where do you think your success really came from? Was it your personality? Was it your network?
I think that it was my, you know, it's those two things are actually the biggest things that got me to where I am, because I decided that I was like, I don't want to be in the background anymore. It wasn't for me. And I have this larger than life personality. I love meeting people. I love networking. So when I started going to events, I just kind of exuded that. And I think it started to like ooze out of me and people could see it. And I remember I went to one event and I like was on the red carpet. And I was like, who is he? Who is he? Who is he? Before anyone knew who I was. Cause like, then, you know, cut to 4 years later, I would walk into a thing and they were pulling me on the red carpet and everyone at the event knew who I was. But I made a really, really, really big conscious effort to network with every single person I could and make sure that every event that I went to, I was meeting and talking to people. And I was making sure that they would not forget who I was. And guess what? To this day, none of the people that I met in the industry have forgotten. And, you know, doing all these kinds of things and being on podcasts and being on some TV things, you know, people reach out and people don't forget you. And people will always say, like, I remember, I always saw you doing this kind of thing. And like, this is just the beginning for me. So I'm really excited.
Yeah. Well, where do you see it going from here?
TV is one of my biggest goals right now. And I'm working on some projects that I can't really talk about at all, but that's what I want to do. And just taking my Instagram and what I've done with it to a bigger scale. And, you know, let's take it worldwide, bitch. Joey Zazzik worldwide, unfiltered, everything. So I can really just, you know, grow it.
I mean, I see it for you. You're on TikTok currently, and I can see that you're blowing up on TikTok as well. Was that something you started doing this past year, like quarantine TikTok?
Yeah. So I remember I was so against TikTok. I did not want to do TikTok. I was like, it's so stupid. It's not going to do anything. And then I just kind of got out of my own way and was like, fuck it. Like, my manager's telling me to do this. I think that it would probably be good for me to just cross-pollinate and gain another audience. And then I think it's just one TikTok that I did. I just started really being myself on it. And I don't think people got to see that side of Joey on Instagram. They just saw these beautiful pictures and like a story here and there. And I think TikTok made people kind of like fall in love with me a little bit, like kind of just see my real personality, how I am with my friends. And it blew the fuck up so quickly. And I just was starting to get hundreds of thousands of views, and it was all on my own original content. And then it started to switch over to Instagram. Like, listen, I looked at my Instagram numbers because I used to like screenshot my analytics. Last year, this time, I was at 130,000 200,000 and now I'm at 240,000. So I've grown over 100,000 in less than a year.
Holy shit.
And I do owe it a lot to TikTok.
Yeah. No, I mean, the TikTok conversion is crazy. I mean, I think people can, at this point, I feel like Instagram is not dead, but a dying medium. And TikTok is definitely a contributor to that. But it is bringing a lot of people through the door.
It's bringing a lot of people through the door. And I think that it is blowing people up on Instagram. And, you know, everyone has their opinions about what TikTok is and the view numbers and how people are blowing up. But like, whatever, because it's transferred to me, like on Instagram. And like the people that come up to me in the street are either from TikTok or so, you know, regardless of what people say, like I have grown just so big from it. And I've also just come into my own a lot, but it's helped me let loose on all my platforms. It's let me really be me, which I really owe that to, because I was scared for so long to be like this eccentric person on Instagram. I thought that I had to be like a straight face and a model. And then I just kind of let it all loose.
Was that a persona that you felt like you were carrying in your like early 20s when you were back in New York?
100%. I think that I was trying to, you know, I felt that I had to like up to just like live up to this like perfect lifestyle with the Ferraris and the cars, and like it just wasn't realistic. But I was in Ferraris and I was in G-Wagons and I was in the Hamptons, so it wasn't really that far out. But it's not a cute look, because like I have such a big heart. I'm funny. I'm really lighthearted. And I was like doing all these model photos with like luxury cars and like big houses and pools in the Hamptons. It's just like, ah, people don't want to see that. Now through the pandemic, people really don't want to see that. People really want to see. And that's why I think I thrived during the pandemic, because I really did have to like show my life at home. And I think that's when people notice like, oh, it's not that much different. Like your life at home is still kind of glamorous and you still have this personality. But like I got to really show people that, and it gave me the opportunity to like open up this whole new side of me. And it was an amazing experience. I hate to say that, like it was. The pandemic helped me a lot.
No, a high key, like it was kind of great for me too. So.
You can admit it. I'm sorry, but like I am so happy, you know, for self-personal growth that it happened, because I think that some of us did need to take a minute. We did need to take a breather, and it let us take a breather.
Yeah, and I also think that there are influencers that came out on, you know, the wrong end of the spectrum when it came to the pandemic and the way that things were dealt with. So if anything, hopefully it gave people, like you said, a more real insight into the kind of people you follow and the kind of people you idolize and you see on social media. Period. For sure.
So that's exactly what it is. You hit the nail on the head.
So I want to backtrack a little bit, and I want to hear about your dating life. And I know you're currently in a relationship.
I am.
And I love your face right now.
I'm kind of like, where the fuck do we begin?
Where the fuck do we? There are two ways we can go. We can.
I know where to begin. I'm just wondering if we want to begin there. But I will begin there because, you know.
Let's go. I'm ready.
So, Well, it all began before. If we're backtracking, remember when I was saying about how when I was going back and forth from college to New York to intern, that's kind of, I was doing these odd jobs like promoting, like I said earlier, and I was actually an extra in a movie, and that's kind of where I met my first boyfriend ever. That's where it all started, was on this dock in Fire Island, and he...
Oh my God, of course it was Fire fucking Island.
Of course it was Fire Island, bitch. Like, where else would it be? And, you know, it was my first boyfriend ever. I was excited. He lived in the city. Of course, that's attractive to someone who's living in bumfuck Virginia. And that's kind of when I like made the jump. I was like, this is gonna be my boyfriend. We're gonna be together. This is it. And like, you know, I started coming up to the city every weekend and seeing him. Long story short, once I moved to New York, things did not play out the way. It was not a fairy tale ending, bitch. Let me tell you that right now.
What happened?
He was super, you know, just abusive in so many ways and verbally. And he was like older than me by 10 years. And he was just never happy for me, because I had just been starting out. He already has life there. And during that time, I was like this insecure guy from Virginia that had just moved there and was just trying to get my groundings, and he definitely did not do me any favors in that. And it was hard because, like, it was your first love, and you always think that your first love is going to be the end-all be-all. And that's kind of when I had to make the jump, and I broke up with him. I made the decision, and honestly, we lived together at that time. We had to get rid of an apartment in New York, as you can imagine. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. It was something that I needed to have personal growth. And if it wasn't for that, I would not be here today. If I would have stayed in that relationship like a lot of people do, I wouldn't have been here.
If he was your first relationship and you were just kind of leaving college, were you out at that point?
I was out 11th grade. Mm-hmm. Junior year of high school, I was out. So, but I just didn't have boyfriends. Like, I don't know. I had so much fun in college. I was just kind of focused on that and like being like a slut. I just didn't want like anyone to tie me down. Then when I got in a relationship, I was really adamant about being monogamous and he wasn't. And I found that out later on. And, you know, it fucked me up for a while because I was kind of thinking that I was so lucky that I'd found this person. We were together for 4 years. So,
wow.
It was a long relationship. And then after that, I did the thing that I told myself I would never do and I never advise to anyone. I jumped from, without unbeknownst to me, I don't know, it just happened this way. I jumped from relationship to relationship to relationship.
So you're a serial monogamist.
I'm never going to admit that. I'm never going to admit that because it might sound like that, but I don't think that I am, but looking back at my history, I guess you would say that I was. But each one of those relationships shaped me and they made me grow so much, and I don't regret any of them. And they ultimately led me to find the right person at the right time for where I was in my own life and my own journey. Because, like, honey, I know my boyfriend now would not be dating me, the Joey version of myself 8 years ago. That's for damn sure. So I had to grow to find the right person. I think everyone has to go through heartbreak to get to their ultimate partner.
So this has been on my mind recently. And I mean, I have a lot of listeners who are LGBTQ plus. Like, I think it's important to talk about this. I think it is really important to talk about this, especially so recently. And I've had conversations like this with my friend. Like, one of my best friends has gone through something kind of similar in the gay community. And there was a TikTok that actually is blowing up right now about a house in LA. I don't know if you've seen it.
The daddy house in LA?
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
Oh, okay. So there's like this group of men, gay men, and they are just known for having parties at their house, and they happen in New York too, and they basically like groom,
like orgies,
not necessarily orgies, like they have parties, and then they invite a lot of young gay men and a lot of sex workers as well. Nothing wrong with that, but it became like a predatory, like people call it a cult. It became like, and it still is, it still exists, this like place where these older gay men were taking advantage of younger gay men, especially the ones who wanted to break into the film industry in LA. And, you know, there's allegations of child pornography. There are allegations of just like rape. One of them, like, just traumatic shit. Like, one of them loved to like have dudes like fart on him and like wipe his ass, like lots of crazy
shit. Oh my god, I can't with this.
It's like, it's some real tea, and there's like investigations happening now, which is why.
Okay, well, I'm glad I wasn't at that party, hunty. That's all I have to say.
I mean, I think it's important to talk about though, when a lot of like there's like a lot of young gay men who are looking to find their footings in cities like New York and LA. And then they get sucked into a relationship or something with older men that isn't exactly what, you know, they bargained for.
Listen, I love that you brought this up because you're so right, especially in the gay community. It's important to talk about. I also want to say that I listen, get your coin, boo. I'm like very open to whatever, you know, like as long as you're safe and you're doing your thing, like do your thing and get out there. But like, you know, there is something nice about it. I think that being an influencer, everyone, and being gay, people are like, who's your sugar daddy? Who's your sugar daddy? Who's your thing? And I'm like, I love being self-made, bitch. I don't have to go to a party and try and break into the film industry. And if I don't get there, it's fine. If someone, I like them and they're going to help me get into the film industry, sure. Like, I don't do that. But the problem is, there's so many rumors and this person seeing that person and this daddy is helping out this. And it takes away people's hard work and it takes away people's hustle. And that sucks. And it really does happen a lot in the gay community. And I wish people would just kind of mind their own damn business unless they need to be involved. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot that's happening and it's going to just, for people that are trying to make it and trying to do their thing, it's taking it away from them and the focus becomes on that. And I don't know, LA is a weird place, but New York's a weird place too.
Yeah. I mean, that's tea. It was just on my mind because you brought up like younger.
Very important to talk about those kinds of things, honestly.
I think it's important for people to hear from, you know, somebody who's able to make their own way without having to necessarily get caught up in a lot of that.
Yes, it is. Let me tell you something. Like, on that note, I used to hate LA when I would visit here for work because I felt like it was so, yes, of course, everyone says LA is fake. So is New York. It's the same shit, but it's about who you spend your time with, right? And when I would come here, I can admit I was so thirsty and I was trying. I'm in, you know, that crowd where like I can go to, you know, Katy Perry's house for a big party or, you know, George Clooney's having like a tequila opening. Like I did that and like it was fun, but it stressed me out because I always felt like I needed to be at all those places. Now I've grown so much since that time. I love LA because I just kind of chill with my friends. I have my own thing going on. I'm successful. I'm like doing my own thing. So I don't have to be chasing the parties. It makes LA, it makes life a lot less stressful when you're not chasing it. And a lot more happens for you when you're not trying to have it come from somebody else. If you focus your energy on yourself and good friends and good people and people that really do love you and believe in you, honey, you're going to thrive. And that's something that everyone needs to hear.
Yeah, I think that's so important because it's true in New York as well. And I'm seeing it also in like, I mean, I've been in Miami a little longer than I'd like to admit. And like, it's the same thing here. People try and chase the check, have major FOMO. I'm like that as well. When I'd be like sitting in New York pre-pandemic, I'm like, it's Thursday night. Like, should I be going to Paul's? Like that sort of shit.
Of course. Yes. 100%. You like, you get, it's FOMO is real, bitch. And it gets even more real when you know, when you really want something, especially in the entertainment industry, like it's, you know, even for you, like you have a podcast, but like, you want to go to this event or that event and meet someone that like, you know, it's the same shit for everyone. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
that's that. Back to,
I need a script for that.
That's on period for sure. Well, let's go back to your relationships. Didn't mean to drag you down that hole, but
I'm glad you did.
Well, so you were in this 4-year relationship. You jumped ship and you went into another relationship. How are you meeting these guys?
I just met them. I've never met a guy in a dating app ever. And really? Well, okay, we'll get into that for my last boyfriend. I did meet my current boyfriend, who's like the end all the one, on Instagram. But like, so that's the only like tech thing that happened. But my other boyfriends I just met in the industry, the boyfriend I dated after my first boyfriend, I don't want to use their fucking names, they don't deserve. But I dated and we dated for 2 years, but like dated, like I chased him. He did not want to be public with me. He was kind of like well-known, but he didn't want to be public with me. I chased him. He treated me like complete shit. And he tore me down. I was like, is this normal? Like, I guess every guy treats people like shit. Like he made me so insecure purposely. Like when I would be feeling good about myself before I got, he would be like, you look, he would just really dig at me. And then I dated another person for 2 years and it was, you know, it was better, but it was still, it was like, we felt like we were getting there, but like, you know, I loved him. He tore me down. He treated me like shit. And then the funny thing was, I didn't want someone at that point because my career was at a certain point. People knew who I was in New York and stuff, and especially in the gay community. Like, I hate to, I'm not being cocky, but they do. Like, a lot of gay people do know me. So I was weary of that because I had been on dates and people would say the weirdest shit about like wanting to be on my story and like weird stuff. So when I met him, I was like, oh, he doesn't care about being an influencer at all. Cut to, bitch. I break up with him a year and a half later, and he quits his job and tries to be an influencer.
Stop.
Period. And that's where I was like, I need to be better about my intuitions, because I always felt there was something there. But yeah, he like loved going to the events with me. Now my boyfriend's like, I don't want to go to the events with you, but I support you and I love you and I'm so proud of you. Like, right now I have the most supportive relationship in the world, but it's not easy. I want people to know that is... Everyone's like, a supportive boyfriend. It gives a lot of pressure to you because you do want to be the best version of yourself, and you want to make sure that like your partner is seeing you be the best version of yourself as well. So it's hard work.
What sort of like red flags were you seeing, or when you look back on it now, like what sort of red flags were you seeing that you can kind of identify?
Oh my God. I mean, just things like, you don't post me. Like, why don't you put me in your story that much? Why don't you put me? And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But the biggest red flag is really just like, I had so many times where I felt something was off in my intuition and I kept pushing back and I kept pushing back and I kept pushing back. When in my first relationship, I was pushing back on intuition. Every time I had a feeling about something, I found out later on it was right. So I like did not learn my lesson clearly. Now I do. Because I just, if I have an intuition, I just say it, you know, when you feel like you trust someone, you have a reason to trust them. If you feel like you don't, even if you have trust issues, I don't care. If you feel like something's off, 99% of the time, something is off. Like, unless you're just a really crazy bitch, but I'm pretty crazy. So like my intuitions were really the biggest things that I just like should have never pushed back on. I should have just asked questions more. I should have been more weary. You know, and things like he would check my phone when I wasn't really doing anything wrong. And that just kind of is a red flag that someone else is doing something wrong. Like, why do you think that I'm doing something wrong? Things like that, you just have to look out for. And those are the biggest red flags. The biggest thing is projection of others. And if people are making you feel like, why is this person just not trusting me? Bitch, it's because they don't trust them themselves. Period.
So what was like the straw that broke the camel's back? What made you be like, yeah, this isn't working and I need out?
The first relationship was just like, it got really abusive. It got really nasty. It got really dirty. And like, I was just upset, but I felt a sense of freedom at the end where my heart fell out. I felt like I really wanted to focus on my career and do something amazing with my life. And I knew that I had that capacity, but he couldn't bring anything to that. So I had to let it go. The second one, 2 years I wasted. I didn't waste, but the second one, I just kind of worked really hard on my self-confidence. And once I got enough self-confidence, I was like, fuck this. Like, and during that time, my career was heightening. So I was getting confidence through that, through hard work. And then I was just like, this person doesn't support what I'm doing. Fuck that. I do it. There's people that do support it. And then the last one was, this is really tea, but I don't care. And I'm so happy to talk about this, but he was lying to me about stuff all the time and like kind of was a little too thirsty. And my friends kind of saw something that was just thirsty. And I was out of town for something in the Hamptons and he stayed back one night. And I get a message in the morning from like a fan who like sent me pictures of him in the hotel room. They had hooked up. This fan like cornered him and knew who he was in a club, and they ended up hooking up and he cheated on me. And I knew deep down. And that's kind of what I'm just like, I don't need someone that's going to do this. And like the fact that like he hooked up with someone who was a fan of mine, the whole thing was fucking weird and he was weird. And that's when I just was like, I'm never talking to you again, period. And I walked away and it was the best thing ever. It was the best thing ever. I could get nastier, but I'm not going to. But it has helped me so much. And I've learned more about myself than I ever have through those breakups. So, and it's hard. My heart was broken, but like, I got over it and I moved on and I focused on work and period.
No, the reality of the situation is like, even in our worst experiences, you come out with learning more about yourself. Everything is a growing experience. People find that it's hard to remember when you're in the situation, knowing that on the other side, like things will potentially and probably be better. Yeah.
If you let them, you have to have that mindset. Like you and me have that mindset, but a lot of people struggle because they don't understand or they can't look past the the heartbreak and the hardships that you go through after a breakup. Like, you have to keep in mind that, like, shit is going to get better. It's not going to get better. It's going to get even better. This is a growing. You have to let yourself dive into work, dive into figuring out who your real friends are, dive into really healthy relationships with friends and family. And that's, like, really the fucking key to life at the end of the day.
Yeah. I was going to ask, like, during these relationships, like, how, because it sounded like they all had some sort of level of toxicity. Like,
100%, were the most toxic things ever.
What were your friends' reactions to your boyfriends?
It's funny because the toxic friends that I had met in New York were kind of on board for it, and my really good friends weren't. And that's kind of a big differentiation of, for me at least, who was really there for me. And then, you know, looking back, none of those toxic friends that were here for the relationship are around anymore. So, you know, it's funny how you really kind of, like, look back and have, like, a clear view. Love is blind. That quote is not cheesy. It is so, so, so true. You don't see things when you're in something. And that's why taking a step back is so therapeutic. And even when you're in something, you need to give yourself time to take a step back. People don't do that enough. Take a step back and really evaluate, is this good? Is this healthy? Is this toxic? Is this bringing anything to my life? And is this adding value? Because if it's not, then you gotta bounce.
And I think that's so true for both romantic relationships and friendships. Because you're saying, like, kind of your toxic friendships are the ones that kind of perpetuated you being in those relationships.
100%.
It's hard to recognize when you're in the moment, but we normalize cutting shitty people out of your lives. Like, we just need to normalize that. It's not good to normalize
it. Cut the bullshit. If it's not bringing you fucking, if it does not bring you inspiration, income, or an orgasm, it does not belong in your life, boo. Cut that shit off, honey. And that is something to live by, my friends.
That's facts.
It's just facts. Because, like, why would you want someone who's not bringing inspiration? Why would you want someone who's not, if you're not paying my bills, or, like, you know, it doesn't mean someone paying your bills. It means, like, they're bringing you more opportunity to make more money. Like, you do better when you're around better people. You do better in work and everything when you're around better people. So, you know, that's why fuck the haters, because they don't write checks for you, honey, and they only bring you down.
Those, I think I need to get that, like, as a lip tattoo. Sorry. Like, above my fucking ass. Like, it's got to go somewhere on my body. You need a tramp stamp with it, honey. That's what I need. I need a trim stamp. Did you have that, like, I know you went from relationship to relationship, but have you had those, like, moments of being single and, like, being, like?
Of course. I, like, went so slutty after all of them. Like, that was kind of my thing, is I just kind of went balls to the damn wall. And then I would find these guys. And, you know, I was, like, kind of on my, before I, my boyfriend's name now is Brian. Before I was with him, I was just out of a relationship, like, very new. And so was he. And we weren't really looking, but I was, like, just dating crazy. I met him. He DM'd me and I was just like, let's go on a date tonight. Cause I wasn't wasting any time. I was just like, let's just fucking have a good time. But I don't want to text and, like, talk, because I wasn't looking for, like, a relationship. I was just looking to, like, fucking, that's the way and the key to finding a good boy and a good relationship in general, is just not looking for it and having fun. And I was just like, let's fuck, let's go on a date, let's meet up. Like, and it was supposed to be just a date. It was supposed to be just a fuck. And it ended up being, like, us talking for 8 hours over, like, literally eight bottles of wine. And we just ended up, like, we pushed each other back and so far because we didn't think we were ready. But, like, we went to, our third date was in Tulum because I had a hotel opening. I was like, do you want to, like, come to Tulum with me? And he was like, sure, like, I'll come to Tulum. This is fucking weird. Who is this? And we both kind of thought that it would be, like, our last, like, we probably won't see each other. Cause once you travel with someone, we go to Tulum and we just had the best time and we got back and we're like, I guess we, like, have to date now.
No, literally. Once you, like, traveling with somebody is, like, the end all be all. If you think your relationship's on the rocks, go travel with somebody. That will tell you everything you need to know.
Friends too, girl. Like, I have some friends that are ratchet to travel with, and I'm like, I'm not sure I can go anywhere else with you. Like, if you're losing your baggage, you're 1 minute before the flight. Mm-hmm. Ah.
No, 100%. So you met your current boyfriend off of Instagram.
Yeah, so I saw him on someone's story in the Hamptons. He was private. I was like, under 1,000 followers, perfect. Not in my industry. He was wearing a suit and tie. So I added him, and then like an hour later, he replied to one of my stories. And so
That's just how it works.
And that was the beginning. And then I was like, let's go on a date tonight. And he was like, okay. And he was down, then canceled on me. And then 2 days later, he was like, do you just want to come over? And I was like, sure. And that's when we had like 8 bottles of wine and just talked for like literally a really, really long time. Then we had sex, and then it was just game over. For me, he was like, oh, like, it's just fun. And we didn't talk. Like, it was off and on. Like, I did not. He was the last person I thought would be my, you know, forever guy. And he's my forever guy.
How long have you guys been together?
2 years now.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I know. It seems like a lot longer because we were together through the pandemic and we've been living together. And but, like, I can't imagine living without him. Like, I mean, that's not even like in the cheese way, just like literally physically living without him. Like, we just work so well together in so many ways. Like, he's my best friend.
No, I think the pandemic put basically every relationship through the ringer. It's like either you come out stronger or you come out not at all together. Like, what was that like for you guys being thrown into the pandemic?
Honestly, I wish I could tell you that it was like really hard and we like really had, it was so easy and we only grew closer and we had the best fucking time. And it sounds bad, but like, we were cooking, we were tie-dying, we were paddleboarding, we were in Miami during it. So like, we were just kind of like, we just kind of had the best time together. And like, even though we were in an apartment, like a 2-bedroom, 2-bath apartment, just me and him, like, we still just like, we like made margaritas on Fridays. We like turned up. It was just me and him. Problem is now we don't really want to be around other, it's like, we love our just like us time. Like after like a night out, we're like, let's just like go home and hang out. Like we just, you know, it's a good day. So it did bring us like very, very close.
Do you think like you're codependent at all?
That's a very good question because we definitely don't like alone time, but we have a lot of alone time, but we definitely miss each other. Like during the days, like we don't see each other like pretty much at all. So like during the days, like we miss each other, but then like we have like our dinners and like our routine at night where we like get to see each other. So hopefully we don't get sick of that.
Well, how do you balance your relationship with like your lifestyle and your work?
You know, to be honest, it's really, really difficult for me because I have so many things that I want to accomplish and I'm always going back and forth in my head. You know, which one am I spending more time just even thinking about? Because I do like, I have a very big heart and I do think about our relationship all the time, but it's a struggle. Like balance, I think for anyone is a struggle, but it is the key to life. And I definitely have a really hard time with balance because I get in my own head as I should be doing more. And like, if I wasn't with him, like I'd be doing, so I struggle with it. It's really hard.
Yeah, I mean, especially like, and also how has he adapted to your lifestyle? Because it's so, like, you're so in the public eye and it seems like he's not.
He's adapted to it very well. Like, he knows kind of, I keep him at a comfortable distance with everything because he wants it that way and because I want it that way. So we kind of agree on that front, like through and through 100%, which is nice and which is rare. Because we just really are aligned there. So I think that it works, you know, it's just, it's hard. It's hard to balance relationships with anything, especially me. I'm like an all or nothing person. And in my past, I would put so much more energy into my relationships, probably because they were unhealthy. But I now am just struggling to balance the two because I have two healthy things going on. Right. So I'm just trying to figure it out.
We talked a little bit about red flags, but everything that you said in your relationship is kind of like, it's goals, right? So what are some green flags? Like, what are people, what should people be looking out for and thinking like? Green flags.
I think the number one thing is someone who lifts you up and someone who compliments you genuinely. And you can tell if it's genuinely. And someone who supports you. And I think the way to really tell that that's like a green flag is someone that gives you constructive criticism. And then someone who really cares and really believes in you, that's willing to give you feedback, good and bad. Like, they're not just going to blow smoke up your ass. They're really going to give you, they're really going to tell you how it is. And that's kind of like what we have that, that really solidifies our support for each other. Cause we both do that for each other. And another thing is I think just the respect that they have for your friends and your peers. I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of things going on in my life. And, you know, he's just a good sport and he never complains. And he, those are just all like really, really important green flags for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think a huge thing is like how your friends perceive your significant other. So it's like, if they vibe, then that's a huge green flag. And I think it's the same thing we were talking about earlier. It's like the kinds of friends who perpetuate bad relationships are probably not, you know,
they're the toxic. Ones you cut them off.
Cut them off. No income, no inspiration, and no orgasm.
No orgasm, honey. Why do we want that?
We want none of it.
We want none of it.
Well, it's amazing you're like in this happy relationship and you're like entering this phase of your life where it's been 2 years and you're feeling stable and you just moved to LA and all these amazing things. It seems like you have it all figured out.
I am figuring it out as we go. I definitely do not have it figured out. You know, moving to LA was an adjustment like anywhere was, and like life is definitely not perfect. I still have my days of anxiety, and just like everyone else, like we all sometimes wake up in the morning and like, what the fuck am I doing? And you are the only person who can snap yourself out of it. And I work really hard to do that because I have my days. And, you know, especially with my industry, is like you have to believe in yourself. You have to snap yourself out of it. But I have the days that I'm like, wait, what the fuck? Like, and I get in my own head. But I've realized just like the biggest like advice I'd love to give anyone, and I really want to give, is just to like, don't take everything so seriously and just relax and don't beat yourself up. And that was my biggest problem for so long. I was beating myself up about everything, and I'm not there yet. Like I still do beat myself up a good amount, but I'm aware that I'm doing it. And when I just snap out of it, because it's only going to hold you back.
Yeah. I mean, there's a quote, what, like comparison is the thief of joy. Yeah, I think that's the quote.
And don't compare yourself to anybody.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of like people's insecurities are when they do go on things like social media and they see unrealistic things perpetuated, whether it be relationships, fitness, lifestyle. Like it's hard for people to know what's actually real and what they should be looking for.
And that's why you follow me, honey, because it's all real.
Our final segment is something we like to call shots. And okay. I'm going to ask you rapid fire questions. And I just want you to answer.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah. Okay. Early bird or night owl?
Night owl.
Work hard or play hard?
Play hard.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Dine out or delivery?
Dine out.
Laundry or dishes?
Oh, shit. Neither? No, I'm just kidding. Laundry.
TikTok or Instagram?
Instagram.
Money or fame?
Fame.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Spicy or mild?
Spicy.
Coffee or drinks date?
Oh, drinks date all day long. Do not ask me to get coffee, boo-boo.
Drinks first.
Drinks first, period.
What's your favorite season?
Spring.
What would you rate yourself out of 10?
10.
What is your drink of choice?
Spicy margarita. Actually, no, let's be real. It's a Casamigos with a lot of ice, with a lime and a muddled jalapeno in it. Skin tea.
Ooh, yum. What's your favorite song at the moment?
Bad Days by Tate McRae. Love you, Tate.
And if you had a boat, what would you name it?
I would just put Zalzig on the back, honey, because that's my last name, and it's going to be big, bitch. I put that on the back of the boat. Actually, no, that's not true. I take that back. If I had a boat, I would name it period, with a big period at the end. Period.
Period. All right, Joey, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so great talking to you. I'm really excited.
Of course. I'm so happy you came on. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and my handles on all of those are at Joey Zalzig. If you want to Snapchat me, boo-boo, it's Joey Zigzag, so find me there.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I will talk to you soon.